It would be really interesting to check our understanding of
New Scientist, 6th of October 2018. It's a popular magazine with modern news articles in it, and answering multiple choice questions will help you really get to the bottom of some of the fundamental ideas.
I've thought up six multiple choice questions. They could be easy, they could be hard, but most of all, I hope you find them fun.
This is version one of this software, which randomizes the answers and publishes them. And obviously being version one, I'm thinking of greater versions. For this particular version, it creates the questions in three formats. The first format is driving along or walking along. It's just the question, bit of thinking time, and then the answer. Then that's the quiz format, the radio quiz format. Then there's the school quiz format, where all the questions are put together and you write down the answers. Then the answers are given for all so many questions, and then the answers are given out. So that's a bit of a long time. And the final format is for, if you're really new to it, it just gives the explanation, a question and answer, just one after the other with no formatting or anything. So you can hear in this last third format, you can listen through it pretty quickly and get all the information that you want to do with no fuss, no bother. So there's three formats. The sort of game format, private game format, the class format, and then just the study format. Now, things will come up in future. Since I've got that under control, I'll put edit points so you can go through pretty quickly and get to the file, the point in the file that's interests you. So you can move forward on a few clicks to move forward, but I haven't done that yet. I need to really study and understand that before I go along. So here it is, version one of the disassembled quiz.
Question one. What is Fermi's paradox? A. The number of people in the telephone book called Fermi is insufficient for the number of Italians known to exist. B. We have not detected alien life yet. C. The letter E should be stronger than it is, yet it is soft. D. The number of electrons in the universe is too many. The answer is B. We have not detected alien life yet. Question 2. Why do rats disappear when cats are introduced into an area? A. The rats hide from the cats. B. The cats eat the rats. C. The cats eat and compete the rats' food source. D. The cats eat the rats' children. There is A. The rats hide from the cats. Researchers in the United States of America were investigating a wild rat population at a recycling station, and during their observation, some feral cats moved into the area, so they were concerned that the number of rats would disappear. So they set up infrared cameras and found that the rats caught no rats. In general, they only caught three rats, but the rats appeared to be less around the place because they began to hide and overestimate the danger from cats. The rats being roughly a third of a kilogram, were more than a match than the cats, so the cats tended to stay away from the rats, and the rats stayed away from the cats. And it gives the impression that rats do frighten away, or actually catch rats, but in general, all they do is make them less easy for us to see, but they're still there, they take a more circuitous route, less visible, they're still there in the same numbers.
Question 3. What tool did scientists use to examine the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago?
A.
They observed changes in the pottery and tools used.
B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons.
C.
They looked at the impact of humans on the climate at the time.
D.
They looked at written records. We'll be right back. The answer is B. They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. Scientists are finding out about the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago. They do this by extracting the DNA from the bones of skeletons they unearth. In the bones is old cells, and in the cells are chromosomes, and the chromosomes are complex, but they contain special chromosomes. So chromosomes is a section of genetic material in the human body. The human is broken up into 23 distinct chromosomes. You get a pair from each, or one from each mother and father, and that leads to 42 chromosomes plus two sex chromosomes. Now, there is a unique lineage down the male line of the Y chromosomes, and there is another lineage down the female line of special sort of fragments of DNA which code for making eggs, so we can see what the population is there. Now, what's happened is that the type of Y chromosome suddenly stopped earlier than 4,500 years ago, and after this point, it was replaced by a tribe coming in to it called the Yamanaya, Y-A-M-N-A-Y-A, and this down from above what we call modern-day Russia, so there was an eastern invasion. And they looked at this by looking at the Y chromosome, which is the male chromosome. It's a slightly shorter chromosome, and whereas males have a Y and an X, females have two X's, so you only get this particular chromosome from the Y. You get this chromosome only from the male lineage, so it can really track and tell you a whole lot of things about the family tree of people's living at a particular point in time. Question 4. What effect do scientists predict from new shipping lanes opening up above the North Pole in the Arctic, the High Arctic? A. The motion of the ships through the cold waters will churn cold water up to the top and cause the region to cool more. B. C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. D. The ice will melt more due to the soot from the engines landing on the ice, making it slightly darker. The answer is C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. With global warming, the North Pole ice cap is melting in summer, allowing shipping to go and move cargo from one part of Russia to another, from Europe to America via the North Pole. This is causing pollution. Now, pollution causes some heating and cooling effects. The carbon soot from the smoke burning of the diesel lands on the ice and makes the ice darker, increasing its melting. However, sulfur dioxide, which is put out of the steam, also of the steamers or the cargo vessels, also seeds clouds, and these clouds reflect more sunlight. And this effect will have a net cooling effect on the North Pole. So this will have an overall effect of just 1 degree in the cooling of the North Pole area. Question 5. How did scientists determine that ancient humans, the Neanderthals, who are a different species from Homo sapiens, were able to do fine handiwork with their hands? A. They relied on written records from the Neanderthals. B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. C. They looked at the art and artifacts made by the Neanderthals. D. They looked at the bone thickness. The answer is B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. There were three species of humans existing in recent history. The modern Homo sapiens, which are ourselves, the Neanderthals, and the Denisonians. Now, the Denisonians, something you probably haven't heard of, it's just been recently discovered from a single finger fragment in a cave in Denisonia, I think in the old Russia, or the new Russia. Now, these are people which are distinct from modern humans. So the Neanderthals lived in Europe for a good fraction of a million years, and they were heavily set, barrel-chested, and a whole different sort of things. So they had spheres, arts, culture, possibly even language. And so I know a little bit about them from them. And modern humans, or modern Europeans, are about 10% Neanderthals, and Asian people, or people particularly from New Guinea and stuff like that, have some Denisonian people into it. They're not people known. So we basically had some species which interbred. So sort of like, I suppose, Dalmatians and German shepherds and dingoes. Interbreeding, producing a mongrel source. So we have many samples of Neanderthals. Now, Neanderthals turned out to be quite sophisticated with religious practices, and even cave art we've discovered recently. Now, due to religious reasons, people are generally not talking about Neanderthals. Now, the scientists found that by looking at the bones, that they had, and trying to look at the hand structure and the type of art they were producing, so they were threading shells and making clothing and doing all sorts of things. How could they do this with such thick bones? So their bones were all much thicker. They were sort of like a armoured version of us, sort of like they're all a bit like world wrestling people. They're all heavily set and probably quite more powerful than modern, more petite, delicate modern humans. And so what they did is they looked at how the tendons were attached. The article says the muscles were attached to the fingers. The muscles were attached by tendons. And by analysis of this and reconstruction, they could see that they indeed had very fine control of their hands and could pick up the tools in a very delicate fashion, and found that they probably had more delicate hands than modern humans. Question 6. How have teams of scientists made a new breed of tomatoes? A. They have used genetic engineering using artificial intelligence to reprogram the genes of tomatoes. B. They have gone into forests and discovered new tomato species. C. They have created mutations in tomatoes using radioactivity. D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. Answer is D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. There are three basic cell life forms on this planet. They're the eukaryotic cells, which are the cells with nucleuses in it. They make big organisms. They can make big organisms like us, which are multicell organisms. But there's also, besides the eukaryotic cells, there's bacteria, which are very small single cell things with no nucleus for the DNA, and there's also archaea cells, very ancient cells, which are we now call extremophiles. Of course, they used to be all extreme, but now it's turned into a bacteria paradise with lots of oxygen out there. And now there's another thing out there called viruses. So the bacteria have developed a way of fighting viruses, and they've actually developed their way to when the virus tries to genetically engineer it. So what happens? The virus puts in a piece of DNA into a bacteria. The bacteria gets tricked into making the virus, and that's the end of the story. So the virus does the opposite. It actually does some genetic engineering and attacks, using genetic engineering, the virus. And it attacks a virus with an enzyme, a virus-cutting enzyme, and a code where it remembers what the virus is like and uses that enzyme to hang around. So the virus comes into the bacteria, and the bacteria becomes resistant to the virus. And we have discovered this and said, hey, hang on, we can actually program the bacteria's antiviral defense to actually go in and modify eukaryotic cells, every cell. So we've opened a Pandora box by using bacterial genetic engineering that the bacteria have developed over billions of years, and we've just gone into that. And you can have two squeeze bottles and actually genetically engineer the plant or whatever thing that you're looking at. And so you have one squeeze bottle which creates the enzyme, another squeeze bottle which creates the code for looking at where it goes. And so rather than cutting the viral DNA, it cuts the actual internal DNA of the plant. So you, instead of coding for a virus, you code for the actual plant itself, and you can actually go in. And this process is called CRISPR. And CRISPR is something you should remember, but it stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. Now, palindromes is something like race car or glenelg, something which is spelled the same way both ways. And spelling is something which actually does happen in the DNA. The DNA is a sequence of letters, a code. So when this metacode comes along, the CRISPR then knows at a certain point, the enzymes know at a certain point to read the DNA, reads that DNA, loads up the gene shears, and the gene shears go out. So what we've done is we've had a fantastic renaissance, well, not renaissance, a boom in genetic engineering, and people have gone across and engineered, started to go back and fast track what we've been doing over thousands of years, go out into the wild and re-domesticate using fast track technology tomatoes. And by doing this, we've got a base tomato, and we've domesticated it quickly by keeping a whole lot of new properties in the tomato, making it more nutritious, more flavoursome by genetic engineering a new tomato. So in the wild tomatoes are very resistant. So we have a new tomato which is very resistant using this new technology called CRISPR.
Question 1. What is Fermi's paradox? A. The number of people in the telephone book called Fermi is insufficient for the number of Italians known to exist.
B. We have not detected alien life yet.
C.
The letter E should be stronger than it is, yet it is soft.
D.
The number of electrons in the universe is too many.
The answer is B.
We have not detected alien life yet.
Question 2.
Why do rats disappear when cats are introduced into an area?
A.
The rats hide from the cats.
B.
The cats eat the rats.
C.
The cats eat and compete the rats' food source.
D.
The cats eat the rats' children.
The answer is
A. The rats hide from the cats. Researchers in the United States of America were investigating a wild rat population at a recycling station, and during their observation, some feral cats moved into the area, so they were concerned that the number of rats would disappear. So they set up infrared cameras and found that the rats caught no rats. In general, they only caught 3 rats, but the rats appeared to be less around the place because they began to hide and overestimate the danger from cats. The rats being roughly a third of a kilogram, were more than, with nasty teeth, were more than a match than the cats, so the cats tended to stay away from the rats, and the rats stayed away from the cats. And it gives the impression that rats do frighten away, or actually catch rats, but in general, all they do is make them less easy for us to see, but they're still there, they take a more circuitous route, less visible, but they're still there in the same numbers.
Question 3.
What tool did scientists use to examine the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago?
A.
They observed changes in the pottery and tools used.
B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons.
C.
They looked at the impact of humans on the climate at the time.
D.
They looked at written records.
The answer is B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. Scientists are finding out about the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago. They do this by extracting the DNA from the bones of skeletons they unearth. In the bones is old cells, and in the cells are chromosomes, and the chromosomes are complex, but they contain special chromosomes. So chromosomes is a section of genetic material in the human body. The human is broken up into 23 distinct chromosomes. You get a pair from each, or one from each mother and father, and that leads to 42 chromosomes plus 2 sex chromosomes. Now, there is a unique lineage down the male line of the Y chromosomes, and there is another lineage down the female line of special sort of fragments of DNA which code for making eggs, so we can see what the population is there. Now, what's happened is that the type of Y chromosome suddenly stopped earlier than 4,500 years ago, and after this point, it was replaced by a tribe coming in to it called the Yamanya, Y-A-M-N-A-Y-A, and this down from above what we call modern-day Russia, so there was an eastern invasion. And they looked at this by looking at the Y chromosome, which is a male chromosome. It's a slightly shorter chromosome, and whereas males have a Y and an X, females have two X's, so you only get this particular chromosome from the Y. You get this chromosome only from the male lineage, so it can really track and tell you a whole lot of things about the family tree of people's living at a particular point in time.
Question 4.
What effect do scientists predict from new shipping lanes opening up above the North Pole in the Arctic, the high Arctic?
A.
The motion of the ships through the cold waters will churn cold water up to the top and cause the region to cool more. B, C.
The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships.
D.
The ice will melt more due to the soot from the engines landing on the ice, making it slightly darker. The answer is C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. With global warming, the North Pole ice cap is melting in summer, allowing shipping to go and move cargo from one part of Russia to another, from Europe to America via the North Pole. This is causing pollution. Now, pollution causes some heating and cooling effects. The carbon soot from the smoke burning of the diesel lands on the ice and makes the ice darker, increasing its melting. However, sulfur dioxide, which is put out of the steam, also of the steamers or the cargo vessels, also seeds clouds, and these clouds reflect more sunlight. And this effect will have a net cooling effect on the North Pole. So this will have an overall effect of just 1 degree in the cooling of the North Pole area.
Question 5.
How did scientists determine that ancient humans, the Neanderthals, who are a different species from Homo sapiens, were able to do fine handiwork with their hands?
A.
They relied on written records from the Neanderthals.
B.
They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands.
C.
They looked at the art and artifacts made by the Neanderthals.
D.
They looked at the bone thickness.
The answer is B.
They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. There were three species of humans existing in recent history. The modern Homo sapiens, which are ourselves, the Neanderthals, and the Denisovians. Now, the Denisovians is something you probably haven't heard of. It's just been recently discovered from a single finger fragment in a cave in Denisovia, I think, in the old Russia, or the new Russia. Now, these are people which are distinct from modern humans. So the Neanderthals lived in Europe for a good fraction of a million years, and they were heavily set, barrel-chested, and a whole different sort of thing. So they had spears, arts, culture, possibly even language. And so I know a little bit about them from them. And modern humans, or modern Europeans, are about 10% Neanderthals, and Asian people, or people particularly from New Guinea and stuff like that, have some Denisovian people into it. They're not people. No, and so we basically had some species which interbred. So sort of like, I suppose, Dalmatians and German shepherds and dingoes interbreeding, producing a mongrel source. So we have many samples of Neanderthals. Now, Neanderthals turned out to be quite sophisticated with religious practices and even cave art, we've discovered recently. Now, due to religious reasons, people are generally not talking about Neanderthals. Now, the scientists found that by looking at the bones, that they had, and trying to look at the hand structure and the type of art they were producing, so they were threading shells and making clothing and doing lots of things. How could they do this with such thick bones? So their bones were all much thicker. They were sort of like a armoured version of this, sort of like a, they're all a bit like a world wrestling people. They're all heavily set and probably quite more powerful than modern, more petite, delicate modern humans. And so what they did is they looked at how the tendons were attached. The article says the muscles were attached to the fingers. The muscles were attached by tendons. And by analysis of this and reconstruction, they could see that they indeed had very fine control of their hands and could pick up the tools in a very delicate fashion, and found that they probably had more delicate hands than modern humans.
Question 6.
How have teams of scientists made a new breed of tomatoes?
A.
They have used genetic engineering using artificial intelligence to reprogram the genes of tomatoes.
B.
They have gone into forests and discovered new tomato species.
C.
They have created mutations in tomatoes using radioactivity.
D.
They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology.
The answer is D.
They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology.
There are three basic cell life forms on this planet. They're the eukaryotic cells, which are the cells with nucleuses in it. They make big organisms. They can make big organisms like us, which are multicell organisms. But there's also, besides the eukaryotic cells, there's bacteria, which are very small single cell things with no nucleus for the DNA. And there's also archaea cells, very ancient cells, which are we now call extremophiles. Of course, they used to be all extreme, but now it's turned into a bacteria paradise with lots of oxygen out there. And there's another thing out there called viruses. So the bacteria have developed a way of fighting viruses, and they've actually developed their way to when the virus tries to genetically engineer it. So what happens? The virus puts in a piece of DNA into bacteria. The bacteria gets tricked into making the virus, and that's the end of the story. So the virus does the opposite. It actually does some genetic engineering and attacks, using genetic engineering, the virus. And it attacks a virus with an enzyme, a virus-cutting enzyme, and a code where it remembers what the virus is like and uses that enzyme to hang around. So the virus comes into the bacteria, and the bacteria becomes resistant to the virus. And we have discovered this and said, hey, hang on, we can actually program the bacteria's antiviral defense to actually go in and modify eukaryotic cells, every cell. So we've opened a Pandora box by using bacterial genetic engineering that the bacteria have developed over billions of years, and we've just gone into that. And you can have two squeeze bottles and actually genetically engineer the plant or whatever thing that you're looking at. And so you have one squeeze bottle which creates the enzyme, another squeeze bottle which creates the code for looking at where it goes. And so rather than cutting the viral DNA, it cuts the actual internal DNA of the plant. So you, instead of coding for a virus, you code for the actual plant itself, and you can actually go in. And this process is called CRISPR. And CRISPR is something you should remember, but it stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. Now, palindromes is something like race car or glenelg, something which is spelled the same way both ways. And spelling is something which actually does happen in the DNA. The DNA is a sequence of letters, a code. So when this metacode comes along, the CRISPR then knows at a certain point, the enzymes know at a certain point to read the DNA. It reads that DNA, loads up the gene shears, and the gene shears go out. So what we've done is we've had a fantastic renaissance, well, not renaissance, a boom in genetic engineering, and people have gone across and engineered, started to go back and fast-track what we've been doing over thousands of years, go out to the wild and re-domesticate using fast-track technology tomatoes. And by doing this, we've got a base tomato, and we've domesticated it quickly by keeping a whole lot of new properties in the tomato, making it more nutritious, more flavoursome, by genetic engineering a new tomato. So in the wild, tomatoes are very resistant, so we have a new tomato which is very resistant, using this new technology called CRISPR.
Question 1. What is Fermi's paradox? A. The number of people in the telephone book called Fermi is insufficient for the number of Italians known to exist. B. We have not detected alien life yet. C. The letter E should be stronger than it is, yet it is soft. D. The number of electrons in the universe is too many. The answer is B. We have not detected alien life yet.
Question 2.
Why do rats disappear when cats are introduced into an area?
A.
The rats hide from the cats.
B.
The cats eat the rats.
C.
The cats eat and compete the rats' food source.
D.
The cats eat the rats' children.
The answer is A.
The rats hide from the cats. Researchers in the United States of America were investigating a wild rat population at a recycling station, and during their observation, some feral cats moved into the area, so they were concerned that the number of rats would disappear. So they set up infrared cameras and found that the rats caught no rats. In general, they only caught 3 rats, but the rats appeared to be less around the place because they began to hide and overestimate the danger from cats. The rats being roughly a third of a kilogram, were more than a match than the cats. So the cats tended to stay away from the rats, and the rats stayed away from the cats. And it gives the impression that rats do frighten away, or actually catch rats, but in general, all they do is make them less easy for us to see, but they're still there. They take a more circuitous route, are less visible, but they're still there in the same numbers.
Question 3. What tool did scientists use to examine the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago?
A.
They observed changes in the pottery and tools used.
B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. They looked at the impact of humans on the climate at the time. D. They looked at written records. The answer is B. They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. Scientists are finding out about the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago. They do this by extracting the DNA from the bones of skeletons they unearth. In the bones is old cells, and in the cells are chromosomes, and the chromosomes are complex, but they contain special chromosomes. So chromosomes is a section of genetic material in the human body. The human is broken up into 23 distinct chromosomes. You get a pair from each mother and father, and that leads to 42 chromosomes plus 2 sex chromosomes. Now, there is a unique lineage down the male line of the Y chromosomes, and there is another lineage down the female line of special sort of fragments of DNA which code for making eggs, so we can see what the population is there. Now, what's happened is that the type of Y chromosome suddenly stopped earlier than 4,500 years ago, and after this point, it was replaced by a tribe coming in to it called the Yamanaya, Y-A-M-N-A-Y-A, and this down from above what we call modern-day Russia, so there was an eastern invasion. And they looked at this by looking at the Y chromosome, which is a male chromosome. It's a slightly shorter chromosome, and whereas males have a Y and an X, females have two X's, so you only get this particular chromosome from the Y. You get this chromosome only from the male lineage, so it can really track and tell you a whole lot of things about the family tree of people's living at a particular point in time. Question 4. What effect do scientists predict from new shipping lanes opening up above the North Pole in the Arctic, the High Arctic? A. The motion of the ships through the cold waters will churn cold water up to the top and cause the region to cool more. B. C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. D. The ice will melt more due to the soot from the engines landing on the ice, making it slightly darker. The answer is C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. With global warming, the North Pole ice cap is melting in summer, allowing shipping to go and move cargo from one part of Russia to another, from Europe to America via the North Pole. This is causing pollution. Now, pollution causes some heating and cooling effects. The carbon soot from the smoke burning of the diesel lands on the ice and makes the ice darker, increasing its melting. However, sulfur dioxide, which is put out of the steam, also of the steamers or the cargo vessels, also seeds clouds, and these clouds reflect more sunlight. And this effect will have a net cooling effect on the North Pole. So this will have an overall effect of just 1 degree in the cooling of the North Pole area. Question 5. How did scientists determine that ancient humans, the Neanderthals, who are a different species from Homo sapiens, were able to do fine handiwork with their hands? A. They relied on written records from the Neanderthals. B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. C. They looked at the art and artifacts made by the Neanderthals. D. They looked at the bone thickness. The answer is B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. There were 3 species of humans existing in recent history. The modern Homo sapiens, which are ourselves, the Neanderthals, and the Denisonians. Now, the Denisonians, something you probably haven't heard of, it's just been recently discovered from a single finger fragment in a cave in Denisonia, I think, in the old Russia, or the new Russia. Now, these are people which are distinct from modern humans. So the Neanderthals lived in Europe for a good fraction of a million years, and they were heavily set, barrel-chested, and a whole different sort of thing. So they had spears, arts, culture, possibly even language. And so I know a little bit about them from them. And modern humans, or modern Europeans, are about 10% Neanderthals, and Asian people, or people particularly from New Guinea and stuff like that, have some Denisonian people into it. They're not people, no. And so we basically had some species which interbred, so it's sort of like, I suppose, Dalmatians and German shepherds and dingoes interbreeding, producing a mongrel source. So we have many samples of Neanderthals. Now, Neanderthals turned out to be quite sophisticated with religious practices, and even cave art we've discovered recently. Now, due to religious reasons, people are generally not talking about Neanderthals. Now, the scientists found that by looking at the bones, that they had, trying to look at the hand structure and the type of art they're producing, so they're threading shells and making clothing and doing all sorts of things. How could they do this with such thick bones? So their bones were all much thicker. They were sort of like a armoured version of us, sort of like they're all a bit like world wrestling people. They're all heavily set and probably quite more powerful than modern, more petite, delicate modern humans. And so what they did is they looked at how the tendons were attached. The article says the muscles were attached to the fingers. The muscles were attached by fingers, by tendons, and by analysis of this and reconstruction, they could see that they indeed had very fine control of their hands and could pick up the tools in a very delicate fashion, and found that they probably had more delicate hands than modern humans.
Question 6. How have teams of scientists made a new breed of tomatoes? A. They have used genetic engineering using artificial intelligence to reprogram the genes of tomatoes. B. They have gone into forests and discovered new tomato species. C. They have created mutations in tomatoes using radioactivity. D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology.
The answer is D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. There are three basic cell life forms on this planet. They're the eukaryotic cells, which are the cells with nucleuses in it. They make big organisms. They can make big organisms like us, which are multicell organisms. But there's also, besides the eukaryotic cells, there's bacteria, which are very small single cell things with no nucleus for the DNA, and there's also archaea cells, very ancient cells, which are, we now call extremophiles. Of course, they used to be all extreme, but now it's turned into a bacteria paradise with lots of oxygen out there. And now there's another thing out there called viruses. So the bacteria have developed a way of fighting viruses, and they've actually developed their way to, when the virus tries to genetically engineer it, so what happens, the virus puts in a piece of DNA into bacteria, the bacteria gets tricked into making the virus, and that's the end of the story. So the virus does the opposite. It actually does some genetic engineering and attacks, using genetic engineering, the virus, and it attacks a virus with an enzyme, a virus-cutting enzyme, and a code where it remembers what the virus is like and uses that enzyme to hang around, so the virus comes into the bacteria and the bacteria becomes resistant to the virus. And we have discovered this and said, hey, hang on, we can actually program the bacteria's antiviral defense to actually go in and modify eukaryotic cells, every cell. So we've opened a Pandora box by using bacterial genetic engineering that the bacteria have developed over billions of years, and we've just gone into that. And you can have two squeeze bottles, actually genetically engineer the plant or whatever thing that you're looking at. And so you have one squeeze bottle which creates the enzyme, another squeeze bottle which creates the code for looking at where it goes. And so rather than cutting the viral DNA, it cuts the actual internal DNA of the plant. So you, instead of coding for a virus, you code for the actual plant itself, and you can actually go in. And this process is called CRISPR. And CRISPR is something you should remember, but it stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. Now, palindromes means something like race car or glenelg, something which is spelled the same way both ways. And spelling is something which actually does happen in the DNA. The DNA is a sequence of letters, a code. So when this metacode comes along, the CRISPR then knows at a certain point, the enzymes know at a certain point to read the DNA, reads that DNA, loads up the gene shears, and the gene shears go out. So what we've done is we've had a fantastic renaissance, well, not renaissance, a boom in genetic engineering, and people have gone across and engineered, started to go back and fast track what we've been doing over thousands of years, go out into the wild and re-domesticate using fast track technology tomatoes. And by doing this, we've got a base tomato and we've domesticated it quickly by keeping a whole lot of new properties in the tomato, making it more nutritious, more flavoursome by genetic engineering a new tomato. So in the wild tomatoes are very resistant, so we have a new tomato which is very resistant, using this new technology called CRISPR.
Question 1. What is Fermi's paradox? A. The number of people in the telephone book called Fermi is insufficient for the number of Italians known to exist.
B. We have not detected alien life yet.
C.
The letter E should be stronger than it is, yet it is soft.
D.
The number of electrons in the universe is too many.
The answer is B.
We have not detected alien life yet.
Question 2.
Why do rats disappear when cats are introduced into an area?
A.
The rats hide from the cats.
B.
The cats eat the rats.
C.
The cats eat and compete the rats' food source.
D.
The cats eat the rats' children.
The answer is A.
The rats hide from the cats. Researchers in the United States of America were investigating a wild rat population at a recycling station, and during their observation, some feral cats moved into the area, so they were concerned that the number of rats would disappear. So they set up infrared cameras and found that the rats caught no rats. In general, they only caught 3 rats, but the rats appeared to be less around the place because they began to hide and overestimate the danger from cats. The rats being roughly a third of a kilogram, were more than with nasty teeth, were more than a match than the cats. So the cats tended to stay away from the rats, and the rats stayed away from the cats. And it gives the impression that rats do frighten away, or actually catch rats. But in general, all they do is make them less easy for us to see. But they're still there. They take a more circuitous route, less visible. They're still there in the same numbers.
Question 3.
What tool did scientists use to examine the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago?
A.
They observed changes in the pottery and tools used.
B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons.
C.
They looked at the impact of humans on the climate at the time.
D.
They looked at written records.
The answer is B.
They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. Scientists are finding out about the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago. They do this by extracting the DNA from the bones of skeletons they unearth. In the bones is old cells, and in the cells are chromosomes, and the chromosomes are complex, but they contain special chromosomes. So chromosomes is a section of genetic material in the human body. The human is broken up into 23 distinct chromosomes. You get a pair one from each mother and father, and that leads to 42 chromosomes plus 2 sex chromosomes. Now, there is a unique lineage down the male line of the Y chromosomes, and there is another lineage down the female line of special sort of fragments of DNA which code for making eggs, so we can see what the population is there. Now, what's happened is that the type of Y chromosome suddenly stopped earlier than 4,500 years ago, and after this point, it was replaced by a tribe coming in to it called the Yamanya, Y-A-M-N-A-Y-A, and this down from above what we call modern-day Russia, so there was an eastern invasion. And they looked at this by looking at the Y chromosome, which is a male chromosome. It's a slightly shorter chromosome, and whereas males have a Y and an X, females have 2 X's, so you only get this particular chromosome from the Y. You get this chromosome only from the male lineage, so it can really track and tell you a whole lot of things about the family tree of people's living at a particular point in time.
Question 4.
What effect do scientists predict from new shipping lanes opening up above the North Pole in the Arctic, the High Arctic? A. The motion of the ships through the cold waters will churn cold water up to the top and cause the region to cool more. B. C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. D. The ice will melt more due to the soot from the engines landing on the ice, making it slightly darker. The answer is C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. With global warming, the North Pole ice cap is melting in summer, allowing shipping to go and move cargo from one part of Russia to another, from Europe to America via the North Pole. This is causing pollution. Now, pollution causes some heating and cooling effects. The carbon soot from the smoke burning of the diesel lands on the ice and makes the ice darker, increasing its melting. However, sulfur dioxide, which is put out of the steam, also of the steamers or the cargo vessels, also seeds clouds, and these clouds reflect more sunlight. And this effect will have a net cooling effect on the North Pole. So this will have an overall effect of just 1 degree in the cooling of the North Pole area. Question 5. How did scientists determine that ancient humans, the Neanderthals, who are different species from Homo sapiens, were able to do fine handiwork with their hands? A. They relied on written records from the Neanderthals. B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. C. They looked at the art and artifacts made by the Neanderthals. D. They looked at the bone thickness. The answer is B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. There were 3 species of humans existing in recent history. The modern Homo sapiens, which are ourselves, the Neanderthals, and the Denisovians. Now, the Denisovians is something you probably haven't heard of. It's just been recently discovered from a single finger fragment in a cave in Denisovia, I think, in the old Russia, or the new Russia. Now, these are people which are distinct from modern humans. So the Neanderthals lived in Europe for a good fraction of a million years, and they were heavily set, barrel-chested, and a whole different sort of thing. So they had spears, arts, culture, possibly even language. And so I know a little bit about them from them. And modern humans, or modern Europeans, are about 10% Neanderthals, and Asian people, or people particularly from New Guinea and stuff like that, have some Denisovian people into it. They're not people. No, and so we basically had some species which interbred. So it's something like, I suppose, Dalmatians and German shepherds and dingoes interbreeding, producing a mongrel source. So we have many samples of Neanderthals. Now, Neanderthals turned out to be quite sophisticated with religious practices and even cave art, we've discovered recently. Now, due to religious reasons, people are generally not talking about Neanderthals. Now, the scientists found that by looking at the bones, that they had, and trying to look at the hand structure and the type of art they were producing, so they were threading shells and making clothing and doing all sorts of things. How could they do this with such thick bones? So their bones were all much thicker. They were sort of like a armoured version of us, sort of like they're all a bit like world wrestling people. They're all heavily set and probably quite more powerful than modern, more petite, delicate modern humans. And so what they did is they looked at how the tendons were attached. The article says the muscles were attached to the fingers. The muscles were attached by fingers, by tendons, and by analysis of this and reconstruction, they could see that they indeed had very fine control of their hands and could pick up the tools in a very delicate fashion, and found that they probably had more delicate hands than modern humans. Question 6. How have teams of scientists made a new breed of tomatoes? A. They have used genetic engineering using artificial intelligence to reprogram the genes of tomatoes. B. They have gone into forests and discovered new tomato species. C. They have created mutations in tomatoes using radioactivity. D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. answer is D.
They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. There are three basic cell life forms on this planet. They're the eukaryotic cells, which are the cells with nucleuses in it. They make big organisms, they can make big organisms like us, which are multicell organisms. But there's also, besides the eukaryotic cells, there's bacteria, which are very small single cell things with no nucleus for the DNA. And there's also archaea cells, very ancient cells, which are, we now call extremophiles. Of course, they used to be all extreme, but now it's turned into a bacteria paradise with lots of oxygen out there. And now there's another thing out there called viruses. So the bacteria have developed a way of fighting viruses, and they've actually developed their way to, when the virus tries to genetically engineer it. So what happens, the virus puts in a piece of DNA into bacteria, the bacteria gets tricked into making the virus, and that's the end of the story. So the virus does the opposite. It actually does some genetic engineering and attacks, using genetic engineering, the virus. And it attacks a virus with an enzyme, a virus-cutting enzyme, and a code where it remembers what the virus is like and uses that enzyme to hang around, so the virus comes into the bacteria and the bacteria becomes resistant to the virus. And we have discovered this and said, hey, hang on, we can actually program the bacteria's antiviral defense to actually go in and modify eukaryotic cells, every cell. So we've opened a Pandora box by using bacterial genetic engineering that the bacteria have developed over billions of years, and we've just gone into that. And you can have two squeeze bottles and actually genetically engineer the plant or whatever thing that you're looking at. And so you have one squeeze bottle which creates the enzyme, another squeeze bottle which creates the code for looking at where it goes. And so rather than cutting the viral DNA, it cuts the actual internal DNA of the plant. So instead of coding for a virus, you code for the actual plant itself, and you can actually go in. And this process is called CRISPR. And CRISPR is something you should remember, but it stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. Now, palindrome is something like race car or glenelg, something which is spelled the same way both ways. And spelling is something which actually does happen in the DNA. The DNA is a sequence of letters, a code. So when this metacode comes along, the CRISPR then knows at a certain point, the enzymes know at a certain point to read the DNA, reads that DNA, loads up the gene shears, and the gene shears go out. So what we've done is we've had a fantastic renaissance, well, not renaissance, a boom in genetic engineering, and people have gone across and engineered, started to go back and fast track what we've been doing over thousands of years, and go out into the wild and re-domesticate using fast track technology tomatoes. And by doing this, we've got a base tomato, and we've domesticated it quickly by keeping a whole lot of new properties in the tomato, making it more nutritious, more flavoursome, by genetic engineering a new tomato. So the in the wild tomatoes are very resistant, so we have a new tomato which is very resistant, using this new technology called CRISPR.
Question 1. What is Fermi's paradox? A.
The number of people in the telephone book called Fermi is insufficient for the number of Italians known to exist.
B.
We have not detected alien life yet.
C.
The letter E should be stronger than it is, yet it is soft.
D.
The number of electrons in the universe is too many.
The answer is B.
We have not detected alien life yet.
Question 2.
Why do rats disappear when cats are introduced into an area?
A.
The rats hide from the cats.
B.
The cats eat the rats.
C.
The cats eat and compete the rats' food source.
D.
The cats eat the rats' children.
Answer is A.
The rats hide from the cats. Researchers in the United States of America were investigating a wild rat population at a recycling station, and during their observation, some feral cats moved into the area, so they were concerned that the number of rats would disappear. So they set up infrared cameras and found that the rats caught no rats. In general, they only caught 3 rats, but the rats appeared to be less around the place because they began to hide and overestimate the danger from cats. The rats being roughly a third of a kilogram, were more than, with the nasty teeth, were more than a match than the cats. So the cats tended to stay away from the rats, and the rats stayed away from the cats. And it gives the impression that rats do frighten away, or actually catch rats, but in general, all they do is make them less easy for us to see, but they're still there. They take a more circuitous route, less visible, but they're still there in the same numbers.
Question 3.
What tool did scientists use to examine the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago?
A. they observed changes in the pottery and tools used. B, they looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. C, they looked at the impact of humans on the climate at the time. D, they looked at written records. Answer is B. They looked at the dominance of the Y chromosomes in genetic samples of skeletons. Scientists are finding out about the culture of Spain 4,500 years ago. They do this by extracting the DNA from the bones of skeletons they unearth. In the bones is old cells, and in the cells are chromosomes, and the chromosomes are complex, but they contain special chromosomes. So chromosomes is a section of genetic material in the human body. The human is broken up into 23 distinct chromosomes. You get a pair from each, or one from each mother and father, and that leads to 42 chromosomes plus two sex chromosomes. Now, there is a unique lineage down the male line of the Y chromosomes, and there is another lineage down the female line of special sort of fragments of DNA which code for making eggs, so we can see what the population is there. Now, what's happened is that the type of Y chromosome suddenly stopped earlier than 4,500 years ago, and after this point, it was replaced by a tribe coming in to it called the Yamanya, Y-A-M-N-A-Y-A. And this down from above what we call modern-day Russia, so there was an eastern invasion. And they looked at this by looking at the Y chromosome, which is a male chromosome. It's a slightly shorter chromosome, and whereas males have a Y and an X, females have two X's, so you only get this particular chromosome from the Y. You get this chromosome only from the male lineage, so it can really track and tell you a whole lot of things about the family tree of people's living at a particular point in time. Question 4. What effect do scientists predict from new shipping lanes opening up above the North Pole in the Arctic, the High Arctic? A. The motion of the ships through the cold waters will churn cold water up to the top and cause the region to cool more. B. C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. D. The ice will melt more due to the soot from the engines landing on the ice, making it slightly darker. The answer is C. The area will heat up, but not as much, caused by the additional cloud cover from the smoke ejected from the engines of the ships. With global warming, the North Pole ice cap is melting in summer, allowing shipping to go and move cargo from one part of Russia to another, from Europe to America via the North Pole. This is causing pollution. Now, pollution causes some heating and cooling effects. The carbon soot from the smoke burning of the diesel lands on the ice and makes the ice darker, increasing its melting. However, sulfur dioxide, which is put out of the steam, also of the steamers or the cargo vessels, also seeds clouds, and these clouds reflect more sunlight, and this effect will have a net cooling effect on the North Pole. So this will have an overall effect of just 1 degree in the cooling of the North Pole area. Question 5. How did scientists determine that ancient humans, the Neanderthals, who are a different species from Homo sapiens, were able to do fine handiwork with their hands? A. They relied on written records from the Neanderthals. B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. C. They looked at the art and artifacts made by the Neanderthals. D. They looked at the bone thickness. The answer is B. They looked at the connection of the muscles to the hands. There were three species of humans existing in recent history. The modern Homo sapiens, which are ourselves, the Neanderthals, and the Denisonians. Now, the Denisonians, something you probably haven't heard of, it's just been recently discovered from a single finger fragment in a cave in Denisonia, I think, in the old Russia, or the new Russia. Now, these are people which are distinct from modern humans. So the Neanderthals lived in Europe for a good fraction of a million years, and they were heavily set, barrel-chested, and a whole different sort of thing. So they had spears, arts, culture, possibly even language. And so I know a little bit about them from them. And modern humans, or modern Europeans, are about 10% Neanderthals, and Asian people, or people particularly from New Guinea and stuff like that, have some Denisonian people into it. They're not people. No, and so we basically had some species which interbred. So it's sort of like, I suppose, Dalmatians and German shepherds and dingoes interbreeding, producing a mongrel source. So we have many samples of Neanderthals. Now, Neanderthals turned out to be quite sophisticated with religious practices and even cave art we've discovered recently. Now, due to religious reasons, people are generally not talking about Neanderthals. Now, the scientists found that by looking at the bones, that they had, trying to look at the hand structure and the type of art they were producing, so they were threading shells and making clothing and doing lots of things. How could they do this with such thick bones? So their bones were all much thicker. They were sort of like a armoured version of us, sort of like a, they're all a bit like world wrestling people. They're all heavily set and probably quite more powerful than modern, more petite, delicate modern humans. And so what they did is they looked at how the tendons were attached. The article says the muscles were attached to the fingers. The muscles were attached by fingers, by tendons. And by analysis of this and reconstruction, they could see that they indeed had very fine control of their hands and could pick up the tools in a very delicate fashion, and found that they probably had more delicate hands than modern humans. Question 6. How have teams of scientists made a new breed of tomatoes? A. They have used genetic engineering using artificial intelligence to reprogram the genes of tomatoes. B. They have gone into forests and discovered new tomato species. C. They have created mutations in tomatoes using radioactivity. D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. Answer is D. They have used genetic engineering CRISPR technology. There are three basic cell life forms on this planet. They're the eukaryotic cells, which are the cells with nucleuses in it. They make big organisms. They can make big organisms like us, which are multicell organisms. But there's also, besides the eukaryotic cells, there's bacteria, which are very small single cell things with no nucleus for the DNA, and there's also archaea cells, very ancient cells, which are we now call extremophiles. Of course, they used to be all extreme, but now it's turned into a bacteria paradise with lots of oxygen out there. And now there's another thing out there called viruses. So the bacteria have developed a way of fighting viruses, and they've actually developed their way to when the virus tries to genetically engineer it. So what happens? The virus puts in a piece of DNA into bacteria. The bacteria gets tricked into making the virus, and that's the end of the story. So the virus does the opposite. It actually does some genetic engineering and attacks, using genetic engineering, the virus. And it attaches a virus with an enzyme, a virus-cutting enzyme, and a code where it remembers what the virus is like and uses that enzyme to hang around. So the virus comes into the bacteria, and the bacteria becomes resistant to the virus. And we have discovered this and said, hey, hang on, we can actually program the bacteria's antiviral defense to actually go in and modify eukaryotic cells, every cell. So we've opened a Pandora box by using bacterial genetic engineering that the bacteria have developed over billions of years, and we've just gone into that. And you can have two squeeze bottles and actually genetically engineer the plant or whatever thing that you're looking at. And so you have one squeeze bottle which creates the enzyme, another squeeze bottle which creates the code for looking at where it goes. And so rather than cutting the viral DNA, it cuts the actual internal DNA of the plant. So you, instead of coding for a virus, you code for the actual plant itself, and you can actually go in it. And this process is called CRISPR. And CRISPR is something you should remember, but it stands for clustered, regularly interspaced, short, palindromic repeats. Now, palindromes is something like race car or glenelg, something which is spelled the same way both ways. And spelling is something which actually does happen in the DNA. The DNA is a sequence of letters, a code. So when this metacode comes along, the CRISPR then knows at a certain point, the enzymes know at a certain point to read the DNA, reads that DNA, loads up the gene shears, and the gene shears go out. So what we've done is we've had a fantastic renaissance, well, not renaissance, a boom in genetic engineering, and people have gone across and engineered, started to go back and fast-track what we've been doing over thousands of years, go out to the wild and re-domesticate using fast-track technology tomatoes. And by doing this, we've got a base tomato, and we've domesticated it quickly by keeping a whole lot of new properties in the tomato, making it more nutritious, more flavoursome, by genetic engineering a new tomato. So the wild tomatoes are very resistant, so we have a new tomato which is very resistant, using this new technology called CRISPR.